That is the best bit. You were right.
That sounded much better when she was singing instead of me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah, that's it. Of course. That's all I'm going to say. Of course it was. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast, week 11 of the NFL. As always, we'll run through the scores. Pretty, it was a very interesting week. I'll put it mildly, a couple of great games. The first one was our Friday morning game, the Seahawks beating the Cardinals 28-21. The Browns, just getting what it's done for the Browns, 22-17. Just, yeah, that I'm sure we'll talk about them later. Your boys, the Saints, 8-2 now, 24-9 over the Falcons.
Taysom Hill, baby.
The Washington football team beating the Bengals, and we'll talk about that game, I'm sure, later because of Joe Burrow, 20-9.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
Cincy fans, just fast forward when we do that, because that is just that is such disheartening news for the Bengals and for the league, too, because I think it was, not to say that he's tearing it up, a la, Justin Herbert, but. Yeah. Man, that's a devastating blow for Cincinnati.
He would, but the difference is Justin Herbert has a better offensive line.
And absolutely.
That's what we talk about. We'll talk about his injury later. The Panthers are beating the Lions 20-0. The Steelers still undefeated, beating the Jaguars 27-3.
I don't think they were in too much danger against Jacksonville.
No, and we'll probably talk about that one later too, because I've been looking forward to ahead of what their run's like. They could get to 15-0, and who knows what happens if they rest or they go for the sweep. But the Titans beat the Ravens 30-24. I've no idea what's going on with the Ravens, but we'll talk about that later. All these games are very interesting, actually. The Texans, another team I don't know what's going on with, over the Pats, 27-20. Another team I don't know what the hell happened. The Broncos beating the Dolphins 20-13.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that one coming, but yeah, that Miami D, man, it didn't step up to the mark bit.
The Broncos
at all against Denver.
The Broncos D did. God damn,
yeah,
they
absolutely
did.
Absolutely, they did.
The Chargers beating on the other spectrum of the Steelers, the still winless Jets, 34-28. The Colts beat the Packers 34-31 with your boy Rivers. The Cowboys beat the Vikings 31-28. Yeah, still in that hunt.
Who saw that one coming?
NFC East, baby. We're still on that hunt. Everybody's in the hunt. We'll talk about that later.
Do my eyes deceive me and every single team in the NFC East has got 3 wins?
Yes. So theoretically... I think we've got a lot to talk about. The Chiefs, and probably the game of the round, the Chiefs, well, the next two I think were great games, but the Chiefs beat the Raiders 35-31, and the Rams beat the Bucks 27-24.
Yeah, like you said, that's why we sort of kicked everything off with the Sunday night football theme there on NBC with Vegas and Kansas City. I mean, if you want to, yeah, I guess if you want to kick off with that one, I guess I thought that was probably the game. It was always built up, I guess, to be the game of the round, but I thought it really delivered on action and what was what was a build. That's the Chiefs' only loss of the season, and I guess they were sort of looking for a little bit of revenge in Vegas.
I think so. I mean, look, the Raiders were in it, and the Raiders are a tough team. They're still in the hunt at 6-4. Look, Patrick Mahomes just made, he's a controller. I don't care what anybody says. I know we say so much about the MVPs, but this guy is still MVP candidate this year.
I think
it's extremely evident.
I guess he's just sort of gaining momentum now. I guess it was Russell Wilson's to lose in the early stages, first 7 or 8 weeks. But he's sort of come back to the pack a little bit now. I think we sort of pointed out there last week he's had all the teams had 8 turnovers in the last 4 games. So it was kind of Yeah, I guess for them to get the win over Arizona at the start of the week was good, but yeah, I think Patrick Mahomes is really sort of starting to close the gap on the MVP race. And who's to say that if he keeps on this pace, that he won't take it over. If he doesn't have any more poor games, then he could be another MVP trophy coming his way.
See, that's the thing. I think he's in the lead. I mean, if I was looking at his season stats, you know, we haven't talked about him that much. And I don't know. It's really weird. So, but I looked at his season stats. He's first in yards throw, 3,035. He's first in interceptions, only two interceptions in 2020. He's first in quarterback.
He threw one on Sunday night.
So he's only had one since then. First in quarterback rating, 85.3, and third in touchdowns, 27. So that, you know, and they're 9-1. So I'm not saying he's clearly in the lead, but I think I think it's still his to lose, personally.
Oh yeah,
especially after that game.
Like I said, as the season progresses, like I guess we'll see what's going to happen. You know, just in regards to this game, it was a shootout. And it was a touchdown shootout, and it was just a matter of who was going to flinch first. And unfortunately, Vegas sort of gets off to the hot start and scores two early touchdowns in the first quarter. But the series in the second quarter where they get into the red zone and they only come away with 3 points instead of getting a touchdown is essentially the difference in the game. School wise, it's only 4 points. If they get the seven there instead of three, then this game could have all been tied up at 35 apiece, in regulation. But that's it was a matter of which team flinched first, and the Kansas City Chiefs made, the most important stop in that second quarter by restricting Vegas to the field goal instead of letting in the touchdown.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. But even then, when they were 31-28, I mean, seven plays in 1 minute, 35 yards for a touchdown. The problem is they got down the field too easy. Mahomes.
Oh no, they absolutely left Mahomes way too. It was like the Atlanta Detroit game a few weeks ago where they said, oh, they've left Stafford 40 seconds. That's too long. Yeah, that's too long for Matthew Stafford. A minute. For Patrick Mahomes is way too long, to give him to get down the field, especially with the guys that he's got catching the ball. Like it's too long.
And just his accuracy. He, obviously having Travis Kelce there helps a lot. But there was a lot of no huddles in that, and it's just how accurate it was to still get down the field. He just makes it look easy. Because that whole last minute, I thought, okay, Raiders D's been pretty good, and I thought they might sort of keep him out, but
look, and they restricted him fairly well, and as much as you can sort of restrict Patrick Mahomes, his longest pass of the day was the 22-yard touchdown pass that he threw to Travis Kelce at the end of the game.
Mm.
They kept him in check. They kept the deep ball in check. Yeah, to Tyreek Hill. Yes, he made a lot of catches, but he didn't burn them up the middle or on the outside for the big play. Vegas had at least three plays of 21 yards plus in that game, and it's only Kansas City had two. So it's that both teams sort of kept each other in check from the deep ball, and Kansas City have got a lot better deep threats than what the Raiders do.
Well, the Raiders tried that deep threat right at the end, and I think Aguilar, he got intercepted. So,
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. They still left. I think it was still like 29 seconds. That's, I mean, Mahomes, that final drive was. It's, I mean, it didn't even take him a minute. Do you know what I mean? That was such a quick strike. Down the end of the field. A minute 15.
Yeah. Minute 15.
To get 75 yards. They left they left 30 odd seconds to go in the game. Derek Carr, the very first play that he makes, in that comeback with like 20 seconds to go, is an interception, and that ends the game.
I was just surprised with I guess on the Raiders, I didn't think they'd still go. Well, I think I'm more surprised with Derek Carr. I think he's been pretty consistent this year. He didn't get sacked in that game. He got 3 TDs, but he did get intercepted once. But he's been pretty consistent, at least enough to keep Mariota out of that starting position. Plus, on the back of on the pickup of Aguilar from Philadelphia, I'm surprised Philadelphia let him go. They picked him first in the first round at pick 20. And he's only 27. He's been playing. He hasn't been too bad this year.
No, I guess sort of sneaky good. And
yeah,
you know, his hands aren't really letting him down as much as what they were in Philadelphia. But they've got some good young pass catchers there at the Raiders as well. You know, with Hunter Renfro, Henry Ruggs. So I guess it's about getting those guys a little bit of experience.
Waller. Darren Waller's killing it.
Oh, Darren Waller is he's a mutant.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like that is just one big human being.
Yeah, he's massive. And he sort of came from nowhere too. He sort of snuck into that top 100 at number 100 for the NFL players, but he's still been consistent. He's kept his consistency this year. So I think, look, the Raiders still have a chance to make it. They 100% have a chance to make it. But on the other side of the spectrum, I think the Chiefs are just... they're still favourites, aren't they, or not? I don't know. No,
yeah, they would be. Yeah, they would be. Like, even though Pittsburgh are 10-0 in the AFC, you know, well, they're in the AFC, the Chiefs are in the AFC, I would still think if it came to that as your AFC championship game,
Yeah,
even going on current records, I reckon even if Pittsburgh are going into that undefeated, I still think Kansas City would be the favorite. Oh, and it depends on who gets the home field advantage too. But if it's in Kansas City, then absolutely they're the favorites. But even if it's in Pittsburgh, I think Kansas City would be a little bit sort of shorter favorite. Like, you know, I think that it'd be a lot closer than what people think.
Yeah, I mean, their runs, we'll talk about Pittsburgh next, but their run's pretty good home, Pittsburgh. They have the Ravens this week because God knows what's going on with the Ravens. Then Washington, Bills might be a bit harder. Then the Bengals, Colts, and Browns. So, I don't know. It's hard to say, but theoretically, they could actually be undefeated. Theoretically.
No, that's right. And like you said, you know, anything can sort of get thrown up, you know, in this. Injuries can happen, you know, not so much that, but I think the big thing that sort of a lot of teams are being affected by that aren't injury is players being put on the COVID reserve list.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and that was the thing. Like, I honestly thought, you know, with the Raiders, I thought they were going to get destroyed because they had a lot of people on that COVID reserve list. Some of them came back for this game, but not everybody. There was a lot of guys on that offensive line that were on the COVID reserve list that come back, so they didn't get a chance to practice.
Nah.
And that's something that did admirably against the Kansas City, you know, arguably the highest powered offense that's going around,
which is so interesting. Like, you know, that they're still high powered when their biggest receiver is their tight end in Travis Kelce. So, and I'm like Tariq Hill's still great as well, but it's not like they got massive weapons. It's just Mahomes. He's just smart with the ball.
He makes everyone better, and that's a good quarterback.
We'll go back then to that Monday game, or Tuesday for us, I guess, if you want to look at that way. The Rams beating the Bucks. What's the go with Tom Brady not shaking people's hands? I just wanted to say that at the start.
I read the same article here. Apparently, it's this year. I think he's a little shirty that he's losing.
He lost at Patriots. I just don't get it. The record's not too bad. It could be better, but it's 7-4.
I don't know what it is this year. Like, is he feeling himself a little bit too much this year? Like, he's having a little bit too much fun, and when the fun stops, when the losing starts, is he a bit of a baby? You did the article. You did the same thing against the Bears when they lost 20-19 in Chicago against Nick Foles. And that's the thing. These are two guys that he has faced fairly recently in Super Bowls.
Yeah. Did you see Foles?
Well, and that's the thing. You know, not to sort of harp on it, but his other two losses that he's had this year against the Saints, he 100% went up and shook Drew Brees' hand.
So you reckon he's still shirty about Super Bowl losses then?
Oh no, not so much that. It's just they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Unless he just doesn't
a couple of years ago. So I don't know. I just think he might be feeling himself a little bit too much. You know, he's having fun, and you can see it. But when he's not having fun, he gets upset on the sideline. You see him banging his helmet up against
the seats
they sit on. He's pissed.
I took it as it kind of makes sense now when you threw Drew Brees in the mix. I took it as, you know, your Nick Foles and Jared Goff, that he just doesn't want, he just doesn't believe they're great quarterbacks. He doesn't want to shake hands.
Matter.
He shouldn't have beat him.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
He likes Drew Brees, hence why he shakes his hand, because he's a great quarterback. But that's how, I don't know. Like, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, Jared Goff, you don't know what the hell's going on. He got 3 years.
He's up, he's down, man. He has good years, then he has bad years. And now this year he looks good again. Like, well, what the F?
He's just lucky he's got Kupp and Robert Woods in that team.
Oh, otherwise, my God.
He's so lucky.
That combo.
It's awesome. Yeah,
with it, all that's what I mean. They're both, they're 200-yard receivers in that game.
I don't know why a lot of people, and I think you picked him up in a lot of fantasy squads, why Kupp was left for so long.
Oh, my God, yeah. I absolutely strongly believe in Cooper Kupp. I don't believe in Jared Goff. And especially last, I got burnt badly last year with A, Jared Goff, and B, Cooper Kupp being hurt for a bit of the season.
I got burnt
bad in fantasy leagues with Cooper Kupp this year. Woo! He is killing it for me.
I think you felt the big contract way too much.
Well, that's a possibility. And it was pretty much straight. I guess it was straight after the Super Bowl. You know, that same season that they made the Super Bowl, that he got that fat contract. So, that's probably a part of it. But yeah, I think a lot had to do with injuries and everything last year. He still had, we still got two really good tight ends there in Higbee and Everett. And he's had Robert Woods there for a while. So. It's just a little funny how he had that sort of down year, and whether or not that's got a whole lot to do with offensive scheme that Sean McVay had been drawing up for him last year. Whether he sort of got back to the lab a little bit in this off season and is doing a better job. I think a lot of sort of people in NFL circles say that Jared Goff is one of the better, if not the best, in the play action. Or the RPO, pass option. So I think that, and you tailor make an offense for that. And that's, I mean, you know, in this game, rushing wise, there was literally zero rushing game at all. Like Los Angeles had 37 total yards on 20 rush attempts. And Tampa only had 42 rushing yards on 18 rush attempts. So this game was all about the arm of Jared Goff and the arm of Tom Brady.
Yeah, but why? Okay, but why? Look, AJ Brown can catch a ball, which is great. But why is he not? I don't know. I just feel like he's still not using Godwin and Evans enough. Just from that game alone, it's just how I felt.
Antonio Brown seems to be his boy at the moment.
Oh man, he loves Antonio Brown. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He loves him, and who wouldn't? I know. Purely on a player level, him at the peak of his powers, he's one of the best. He's a top five receiver in the league, no doubt. Okay, he's got his people issues, and he's got his private issues, but. You know, Tom is trying to help him through that. Tom is trying to keep himself young. You could almost say that Antonio Brown is like what Anthony Davis is to LeBron James. He's the oil of Olay for Tom Brady. He's trying to keep Tom Brady young. It's like what Michael Thomas does for Drew Brees. He's keeping him young.
That makes sense. And you're right. The great thing about Antonio Brown this year is that I'm not hearing about Antonio Brown. So that's a good thing, is what I'm getting at. It's not a bad thing. Yeah. Well, hopefully.
I have about, I don't know, it's 5% confidence that nothing untoward is going to happen by the end of the season. We just got to wait and see. But this game, you know, Tom Brady he set the bar so high, but he looked pretty ordinary in this game. A lot of dink and dunk type passes, and that's not the best way to get the win. And they only lose by three.
Yeah.
But that's not the way that he really sort of goes about it. Like only averaging 4.5 yards per catch.
Yeah.
You know, per completion, which is not even 5 yards. That is extremely poor. Like that's Drew Brees numbers without Michael Thomas. And he's got Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, and the list just goes on and on, but he can only average 4.5 yards per completion. Like Bruce Arians come out and said in the press conference after the game, said he basically said we, but that means Tom Brady, cannot afford to be misreading coverages.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's what happened in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think so. I thought exactly the same thing. I don't know what's going through Tom Brady. I've never seen the guy so angry and then so happy in the same breath.
That's the thing. I think he's
putting unnecessary pressure on himself.
Yeah,
that's how
euphoria,
I see it.
The euphoria of winning and having fun while winning is taking over. But I guess he's sort of, you know, it's when he was in New England, everything's business. Okay, we lost, we go onto the next week. But he's taking, I don't know, he's taking these losses. You know, not so much personally, but he's taking these losses harder this year than probably what he ever has in his 20-odd year career.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Next game I want to touch on was the Cowboys beating the Vikings. Don't have to sort of harp on much because, I mean, the Cowboys are 3-7, and then so is every other NFC East team except for the Eagles. So we'll touch on the Eagles later.
3-6-1.
So... A lot of them got bagged. The Philadelphia Eagles got bagged for like not going for the win and actually going for the draw when they could have went for the win. But if you look at it,
is that against Detroit?
I think it was against Detroit. But if you look at it, that tie or that draw might end up winning them division. If it keeps going the way it is, that might be a stroke of genius.
It could really.
It could be the deciding factor, which is absolutely insane. But
and because it happened so early in the season too, like I think that's, you know, people not so much you're seeing the bigger picture, but and I'm sure that Doug Peterson probably wasn't looking at the bigger picture as well and going, hey, this draw, this tie could come in. Surely he wouldn't have thought that everybody in the division was going to be this trash.
No, of course not. The reason I mean, purely just watching this game, the reason why we won, well, there's a couple of reasons, but mainly the thing that I've been whinging about all year, our defense was great. Having Cheetah Bay Awuzie there, back there, is great. Having him back in the corner, he's a very good player. Our defense played a lot better, and they had to.
Still gave up 28 points to Minnesota.
You're right. I mean... You know, when you got Dalvin Cook on the other side, Adam Thielen, he's another one that a lot of people didn't pick up, and I picked up on fantasy squads. I don't know why he was missed, but I think the Cowboys did what they should have done all year, the smart way, and I mean, at least smart enough when Dak got injured. Like, go to the run game.
Go to the run.
You know,
go
why
to
not?
The run.
You've got Elliott
and Pollard.
Pollard's a great player. Pollard is a very quick, great player.
Go to the run. This was Ezekiel Elliott's first 100-yard rush game of the season.
Which, isn't that funny? So it's his first 100-yard rush of the season. But still, he's sitting running RB3 at the moment, which is absolutely weird. I don't know how and I don't know why, but
you can't trust it. You can't trust him this year.
No, you can't trust him. But they went to the run game. It was smart. That's why Dalton only got sort of sacked once, because he was able just to offload the ball. I mean, he did use Cooper, and I mean, CeeDee Lamb's catch was, my God, that catch right in that corner. Did you see that?
Or for the TD, that was unreal.
That was absolutely unreal.
Unbelievable. Like that kid, man. To me, like the Cowboys have got themselves an absolute good and right there.
To fall 17 is absolutely ridiculous. Like and to fall in their lap, because that's I don't think that's who they were looking for, but he was just there, so they took the best player available.
That was sort of when you think about it now, you know, we're playing the results game, playing hindsight, but taking the best player available looked like the right move for the future. And it's sad to me, and it absolutely sucks that Prescott's been hurt. You know, that wasn't through any fault of anybody. That's not an offensive line collapsing him being sacked. Or anything like that, a la what happened to Joe Burrow. You know, he was out of the pocket. He was running. He was just hit at that wrong angle. You know, and it is what it is. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Cowboys went out and got Andy Dalton. So they, you know, that's just purely on insurance policy.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few teams out there that have done that with starting caliber quarterbacks as their backups.
Yeah.
You know, not to come back around, but you know, the Saints did that with Jameis Winston. Unfortunately, they didn't use him this week. Sean Payton absolutely shown 100% faith in Taysom Hill. So if you're Jameis Winston, like, what do you think about that? But yeah, that's one of the reasons why the Cowboys went out and got Andy Dalton. He's a starting caliber player as a backup quarterback, and you should be able to. Yeah, he all he's got to do is come in and, like you said, be a game manager, use the run game.
Yeah, which he did. On the other side with the defense, even though this sounds silly, but we're keeping Dalvin Cook in check at 115 yards, even though I got a touchdown, was great. That's what we needed.
to make him have, I guess, sort of maybe an above average game for him and not an unbelievably crazy game for him. Like, that's still above average for him.
Oh, of course.
But that's on 27 attempts too. So, you know, he's only averaging a bit over four yards a carry. So, and you can't really fault that, but, and it's not so much to keep him in check, but to keep the long run in check. Like, so he had he got those 115 yards and he worked hard for him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I didn't want to harp on too much, just that they won. It's always good to talk about it when your team wins. Speaking of teams winning, and I feel for the quarterback, but the Chargers beating the Jets. I think I feel for the quarterback because Justin Herbert it'd have to be close. I mean, I've got reservations on a couple of things, but Justin Herbert was a phenomenal pickup, or is a phenomenal pickup for.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think the Chargers thought they were going to be using him as early as they did in the season. What, week three?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's nice. Yeah, a good little conspiracy theory is that you know, Justin Herbert and the team doctor working together to get Tyrod Taylor out of the picture.
I've heard that. He'll punch a lung. Oh, but he.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's, I mean, I seriously doubt that they thought that they were going to be okay, we're going to let Justin Herbert develop under Tyrod Taylor. Maybe towards the end of the season, we'll put Herbert in there for out of playoff contention. He's been thrown in there, and yeah, okay, they're not getting the results. They're only 3-7, but he's absolutely looking the part. He threw 37 completions in this game. That's a rookie record.
Yeah.
This is his fifth game of 3+ touchdowns this year.
And, you know, having someone like Keenan Allen there to throw to.
Whatever. That helps a little bit, I guess. Like, you
just
having,
a little bit.
Yeah, but just having a number one receiver there like Keenan Allen, like, you know, that's totally going to help.
It's just having
a deep threat of Mike Williams as well. Like, don't discount that either.
That's what I was going to say. It's just the ease that he can get it to Mike Williams. You know, he can throw 60 yards on the fly easily. Absolutely easily.
the scary thing is, you know, with this game is, okay, Joe Flacco wasn't that terrific. What was he? 15 to 30. I watched the highlights of this game. Some of the completions that he made for those 15 completions were unreal. Like Denzel Mims, Breshad Perriman made some great catches for him. You know, Frank Gore was, you know, he worked hard for his 61 rush yards. He got a touchdown as well. But that's, I mean, when Joe Flacco was bad in that game, he was bad. But you know, he's good. He looked pretty good, and they put up 28 points. You know, LA, you know, the Chargers once again nearly gagged away a win.
That's what's been happening with them all year.
It's unbelievable how they keep putting themselves in this position. They let the Jets score 22 second half points. You can't let the Jets score 22 points in a full game, let alone having them score 22 points and a half.
Especially
with Joe Flacco throwing the ball. Good God.
They should be 6-4. The amount of times they've let teams come back, that's where they really should be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And that's no fault of Justin Herbert at all. It's just unfortunately their defense. So, but they've still got who's their good D? Bosa out? He's there. It's just they have a very good defensive line. I'm just surprised they leak so many points.
I mean, sort of Joey Bosa's stock has sort of been run into the ground a little bit by his younger brother.
Yeah. Nick Bosa.
People know the name, but you don't talk about Joey Bosa anymore. You talk about Nick Bosa.
But you still got Melvin Ingram there. Melvin Ingram's a massive threat as well. So.
No, that's right. All credit to the Jets as well. You know, with the limited amount of time of possession that they had in that game,
to
keep it as close as they did. They only had the ball for 23 minutes, and to keep it as close as what they did, an admirable effort. But unfortunately, they are still 0-10,
still winless. What are the Miami Dolphins doing? That's a weird way to start it, but they. I mean, the Broncos terrorized Tua. Holy hell. Six
from
sacks.
From what I can see, I think over these, what's this, Tua's fourth start? I think, yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, week 8, 9, 10, 11. So I think it's an offensive scheme thing. They're not making him do, or they're not asking him to do a whole lot. I think we've said that before.
Yeah.
Now that he's had those few starts under his belt, it's almost becoming to his detriment. I think they've got to let him loose a little bit, you know, to have the same sort of things, you know, almost like what we talked about with Tom Brady. But you know, Tua doesn't have the luxury of Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin and Rob Gronkowski and Mike Evans. You know, he doesn't have those, but
averaging
just over 4 yards of completion. Like that, you got to let him loose sooner rather than later. And he got hit. I think it was in the third quarter. You know, early in the third quarter, he got hurt. They went off and they brought Fitzmagic in and they left him in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he did Fitzmagic. And he did pretty admirable, I guess, to get him back in the game, but for Tua to get sacked six times.
Their
O-line is, I mean, look, it's probably the other side. The Broncos defensive line is great. They should, except for Drew Lock, their record should be better purely just on their defensive line. When they've got Chubb, or all of them, they got Chubb, they got Callahan, they got Williams. It's, Reed, it's Deshaun Williams is a beast. I don't know how they're still 4-6. I think it's purely because of Drew Lock, I guess.
Well, Drew Lock sort of not so much, I guess, not regressed, but he hasn't made any. I don't think he's made any improvements on what he was looking like last year, and you know they're basically relying on that rush attack to sort of get themselves the results, because they don't really want, by the looks of it, they don't really want Drew Locke doing a whole lot. He only threw 30 times in this game. And, you know, and you had Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay, you know, 80-plus yards in the rush game for this. You know, Melvin Gordon was the one that got the two touchdowns. But Phillip Lindsay sort of back being healthy is a good thing for Denver. That means they can take that pressure off off Drew Locke for him to not be doing too much, which, you know, you can't really say that much for what Tua's got to deal with. You know, they're missing a couple of their frontline running backs. Well, they cut Jordan Howard and Miles Gaskin isn't there. So, you know, they're running on their third/fourth, type running backs that they've got there. So he's really got nobody else to rely on except the guys that he's got in the pass game.
Fourth. I think isn't it like 13th? I can't believe.
Oh, it must say it's got.
They keep so many running backs and then letting running backs go. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Are they getting hurt?
Well, this is true. I think I'm just trying to work out what they need to sort of draft next year. I don't know. I still think Tua is the future.
And first things first. They whether it's in the draft or whether it's in free agency or trades, they need to bolster the offensive line.
Yeah, they need a right tackle that's just going to protect the hell out of him, or a left tackle, probably the right tackle.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's a right tackle for a lefty. So
for a lefty,
That would be first and foremost. If you can keep him protected, then you really don't have to go into the market for your big time receivers or anything like that. Because if you afford him time in the pocket or in the RPO, then guys like Devontae Parker, Gesicki, Callaway, Jakeem Grant is there. They've got good pass catchers.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's the talent that they all think that he is, then like a good quarterback, he'll make your receivers better.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll keep going with the way these teams are going. What are we giving, purely because on last year, we're giving the Ravens too much praise this year. They're 6-4. They lost to the Titans. Yeah, I think so. I think we mentioned it last week, or we possibly didn't, about... No, I think we did. They're very limited offensive playbook. And that's where
I don't think it's the offensive playbook. I just think that they've been figured out.
Yeah, but that's why.
Not a lot of teams are scared of Lamar Jackson anymore.
But they've been figured out because apparently the coach,
John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh. Apparently, because of the way Lamar Jackson, he didn't give him a lot of plays, or there wasn't a lot of plays for them to sort of go over. But so you're right, they've been figured out. But I believe they need to look for more plays. There isn't a big playbook there, apparently. That's what I've read, at least.
No, well, and that's the thing. Last year that they were playing a lot of three tight end sets, and that sort of helped them a bit. Now that they're basically running with, you know, another mutant tight end in Mark Andrews. Even Dez Bryant caught a couple of passes, couple of passes in this game, which is terrific to see. But then, you know, you got slot guys like Willie Snead and players like that. They're not, you know, those sorts of players and receivers, they're not blowing my skirt up at all. And, you know, Hollywood Brown, three targets, no catches. Like that's your guy. Yeah. That was the guy that was touted last year as being, you know, one of their future good wide receivers, and he's been pretty ordinary this year. Whether that's to do with the scheme, you know, whether that's to do with himself, or whether that's to do with Lamar Jackson.
I think, I don't know, maybe it is Lamar Jackson, because Mark Andrews I won't rule out, because he was pretty good last year and he's doing okay with the limited balls.
He's doing the same thing this year. He's being the safety blanket.
On the other side, I think Tannehill did what he had to do to win that game. I think he was fairly consistent. I mean, he still used Derrick Henry a lot, you know, with 28 carries.
That's their game plan.
28 carries is phenomenal for any, I guess, running back.
That touchdown rush that he had was just ridiculous. Just one left foot step, a cutback, and just open up this wide open lane, and nobody. Yeah, it was like a I think it was like it was a 28 or 29 yard rush. But yeah, just one cut back off the left foot, and it just opened up this massive lane for him to run straight through, and he goes into the end zone untouched for the win. Like they didn't even have to worry about. They didn't even have to worry about kicking a field goal or anything like that. It was we're just going for the touchdown.
The AFC South is going to be very interesting with those top two. I don't know. I really can't pick who's going to finish on top between the Titans and the Colts. They're both Colts. They're both 7-3 at the moment. Colts are only there on differential, but
I would have believed more in Tennessee at the start of the year, but now I think it's very, very even in that division between the Colts and the Titans. So yeah, I would have only assumed that they might have thought that the Texans might have been a little bit better than what they are this year. But yeah, that's a two horse race in this division.
I'll move on to the very unfortunate injury on Joe Burrow. The Washington played well against the Bengals. They beat him 20-9. But that Joe Burrow's injury. I think I read somewhere. I'll have to pull it up, but I think I read somewhere. So he's tore.
He just wrecked everything in his knee.
Yeah, everything, didn't he?
Everything.
I can't remember where I found it, but
MCL. He's got a PCL injury, meniscus tear. He's just ruined everything in that knee, and I'm pretty sure that's almost the same type of thing that happened to Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. And you know, going to if you want to call it a sport or not, going to the WWE, same thing as what happened to Seth Rollins. He just completely blew everything out of his knee, meniscus, ACL, MCL, the lot. That's what's happened here.
He was out for a year, but this, I mean, oh no, you can't. No, you can. I was gonna say
Teddy Bridgewater was out for longer than that, and even when he come back. Like it took him a long time to get his confidence back.
On top of the torn left ACL and MCL, it's now reported Joe Burrow's damaged his PCL, like you just said, and meniscus. So yeah,
just ruined everything.
A multi-ligament injury. It's going to be a long, thorough process for a rehab process. Yeah, it's
could be two years. He certainly won't be playing for the rest of this year. He may not play a snap next year.
Depending on COVID and you know all that sort of stuff as well. You're right.
That's what happened to Bridgewater. I don't think Bridgewater had a game for near 2 years.
That's their offensive line. That's just, you know, that's their offensive line.
Crushed.
He's been crushed the whole, you know, in a lot of games.
He's been hit a lot this year.
Yeah. So, he got crushed. I mean, look, we can't disparage Washington too much, even though they're 3-7. That's Alex Smith's first win.
Was it Chase Young that hit him? The number two pick from this year, was it Chase Young that hit him?
I don't know, actually. I'm not really sure. But I know a lot of Washington players went up to him. I think they're old college players or college teammates went up to him. I'm not really sure if it was Chase Young. That kind of makes sense.
I think if I was sort of glancing through stuff, and I thought I read that right. That he was visibly upset for what happened to Burrow. So,
aren't they on the same? They were on the same team, college team.
No, Chase Young came out of where did he come out of? Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State.
Joe Burrow came out of LSU.
Yeah, of course, LSU. Yeah. So, yeah, not that doesn't it doesn't really say who hit him, but I don't think it would have mattered. We've said it the whole year. Their offensive line has been absolutely. They're just not protecting him at all. Jonathan Allen hit him by the looks of it.
Right.
In his left knee. Defensive tackle.
I'm just having a look here. Chase Young, comes over to sort of show his support. That would have been brutal if it had been him, you know, the number two pick in the draft.
Smashing that he come out of one.
That hitting, yeah. That would have been rough. Like, it's rough to, you know, to start with, but, you know, for them to sort of have that connection as the one and two picks. So, yeah. Look, you know, Washington did enough to get the W, and that's Alex Smith's first win as a starter in 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's you give credit where credit's due. Look, you know, Alex Smith didn't blow anyone away. You know, he only had 166 yards, but they did what they had to do.
I don't mind they're two young guys. I don't mind their running game with Antonio Gibson and JD Missy. I you know, it's not sort of too bad.
Gibson is a beast.
He's only 22, so they're not too bad. I think Washington are definitely a future team purely because on how the age they have, the age of their team. Alex Smith's going to be the key of what's actually going to happen in that quarterback position, considering Dwayne Haskins was drafted number 15. Only a couple of years ago. So I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. I guess it's a previous management's draft. A previous management's draft.
That's a good point.
So, whether or not they're happy, okay, we've got him on the roster, but he's not our pick. You know, that's the previous management and the previous coach's pick.
Mm.
So, you know, that's who's to say that in the off season that he doesn't get shifted. He could there could be a little bit of a shift there. You know, they got Kyle Allen, he got hurt, and now they're on to Alex Smith. So, you know, Alex Smith has been around a long time, so he's not going to be there forever. So it'll be whatever Ron Rivera and the management team at Washington. First of all, they need to get a freaking name. Like, can we just get a freaking name for him?
And then, I like the Red Wolves.
First things first, and then we'll worry about the quarterback position. Let's get a freaking name.
I like the Red Wolves. Someone they had Red Wolves. I think it was like a big name that everyone keeps touting up.
I think it looks like it's the popular one, but for me, I like Sentinels.
Yeah, who doesn't like Sentinels? And
only in the sense of the X-Men Sentinels, not anything else.
they were the main games, just pressing for time. They were the main games I want to touch on. Is there anything else you want to touch on at all?
Look, you know, usually we talk about our boys on this podcast, so, you know, we'd be remiss to not talk about the Saints, I guess.
Yeah,
look, Taysom Hill getting the start, and you know, it's an interesting game. Okay, yeah, it was against Atlanta, but purely for the fact that Sean Payton had come out, he didn't lead anybody on who was going to be the starter in the media, and then whammo, on Sunday, he comes out and names Taysom Hill the starter, and he's got some zip, man. He's got some big hands.
He's definitely got zip.
He's got that football in his hands. It looks like he's holding a tennis ball.
He's definitely got zip. He's so quick off the mark. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Quick. He's got a zippy action as a passer. And look, you know, nobody's going to start going crazy and going, yes, this is the quarterback of the future. It's against Atlanta. Yeah. And yes, Atlanta's been playing a little bit better as of late, but it's against Atlanta. So,
and he's, you know, 30 let's
not all start singing his praises too much. But in this situation, in this game, obviously the Saints defense sort of helped out a little bit as well. And once again, it's against Atlanta, but they hit Matt Ryan hard, and they hit him off. He got sacked eight times. He just got obliterated. Trey Hendrickson now is the leading is top of the sacks list with Myles Garrett this year. Cam Jordan had Matt Ryan. He was picking him out of his teeth like chicken. He had three sacks. He hit him like four times. Like they were just obliterating that offensive line. Julio Jones was busted up. That hamstring injury has come back to bite him again. So he was hobbled. You know, Calvin Ridley's been back for a few weeks now. Good old Russell Gage, you know, is a guy that's getting 1,000 targets for Atlanta at the moment. So just they're just not helping themselves in getting the win. I've got to give a little bit of credit. They've got the win, and that's all they've got to do now for the moment in Drew Brees' absence, and I'm pretty sure they're the number one team now in the NFC.
I'm in here. I'm in here right now. They are.
There's a lot of 7-3 teams.
They are the number one team
in the NFC right now.
The Bucks, the Packers, the Rams, the Seahawks, they're all 7-3. So, you're right. Taysom Hill is still not accurate enough, and that's okay. It's not like he's played a lot of games at the start. He was accurate enough.
That's his first start, but that's not what he comes in for the Saints either. Like he's, you know, he as I said, yeah, he comes in for his gadget plays, and for him to throw 233 yards, you know, in the pass game, to be, you know, to be 18 for 20, that's Drew Brees numbers, 18 for 23, like accurate, but not asked to do a whole lot. You know, he's the leading rusher on the team with 51 yards and a couple of touchdowns. He probably should have had another one, but he fumbled. He had a clear run to the line. He fumbled on the 5-yard line and lost the ball. He should have had 3 rushing touchdowns.
He should have had 3 rushing touchdowns, but I just, he's quick. He's quick. He was accurate enough to Michael Thomas. I mean, Michael Thomas, he found Michael Thomas pretty easily.
Oh, well, you don't need to be super accurate for Michael Thomas, but yeah, accuracy helps because that's who he's been catching the ball off. You know, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history, in Drew Brees. So if he can be accurate and on point and have good chemistry with Michael Thomas, that's going to go a long way, in your quarterback play and for the Saints to win. There's 2 guys that you need to have chemistry with, him and Emmanuel Sanders.
Do you think he starts next week then?
I don't see why not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's interesting.
That's the thing. Like I said, it's against Atlanta. So
yeah, I know.
Let's not get too crazy. They've got 3 games. They got 3 games on the road now, the Saints. So they go to Denver. They go to Atlanta. So yeah, that'll be tough there. And they also go to the dumpster fire Philadelphia Eagles. So I would think that they will keep running with Taysom Hill for the meantime. And hopefully it doesn't sort of affect his confidence too much. But I think once he shows a little bit of vulnerability, then they'll whack Jameis Winston straight in.
Any others quickly to move on before studs and duds at all?
Look, I guess you know, if you want to go with that Philadelphia Cleveland game.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Look.
Oh, Nick Chubb was awesome on his first game.
Chubb was unbelievable. That's another team that. As the Denver Broncos and Tennessee and teams like that, where you want to dominate with the run game. They have got 2 very good rushers, you know, running backs in Kareem Hunt and now that Nick Chubb's back. So that's taking the focus off Baker Mayfield.
So yeah, for sure.
I think that's a big factor in them getting into a little bit of form. Like, they haven't been awful as of late. Mayfield only having 12 completions is not terrific, but getting the win is all you need to do. We talked about it in the NRL this year. The difference between Newcastle's good and bad is just the discrepancy is too big. Philadelphia and Carson Wentz is the same. When he's good, he's good, but when he's bad, man, he's awful. He stinks.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm fine with the Browns. I don't mind the Browns just keep winning, you know, getting the wins just to keep getting the wins, and that's all they need to do.
They're 7-3.
That's right. They'll make the playoffs, which I don't know when the last time they made the playoffs.
Oh, it's probably been 1,000. Well, the funny thing is about this game too. It's their first win. It's their first win against Philadelphia since 1994. Like, wow. they're breaking all these records against teams that they have just been traditionally terrible against. And it's, you know, that's because they're not in the same conference, so they only play each other once every couple of years. So that's fair enough. But it's unbelievable that some of the records that they're breaking. In being 7-3 and they're based, well, they're second now. Are they not second in the NFC North? Baltimore 6-4. So they've taken over the spot. Well, Baltimore, they can't win at home.
No, they can't.
They got 2 wins at home. They got 4 wins on the road. Like, it just, it's, they're so bizarre this year.
Who's bizarre? The Ravens.
I think the Ravens more so much than what the Browns are. I think the Browns are starting to finally live up to a little bit of the hype, but
I think they have a great coach.
But I think it's in ways that not a lot of people thought. Everybody thought it was going to be with their offensive weapons, like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. Obviously he's hurt. You know, Jarvis Landry. You know, they've got Austin Hooper there, David Njoku. They've got big tight ends. They've got good offensive weapons. Kareem Hunt's a good pass catcher out of the backfield, and Nick Chubb. But they're doing it with the run game. And they're taking the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands, and then that seems to be the recipe for success.
I think they just have a great coach at the moment as well. I think their coach has just done wonders.
That's why they bought Stefanski there. Yeah, and right. He's getting it done in different. And I just think they're getting it done in a way that I don't think that they'd planned for. But
yeah,
the results are on the board, and you can't really question that until you get to the playoffs.
That's exactly right. So we'll move on to our studs and duds of the week. We'll start with dud of the week. Mine, you sort of touched on a little bit before, but mine's Matt Ryan getting sacked 8 times. I just couldn't look past that. 8 times.
That offensive line, just as I said, they just got obliterated.
They did. And your guys just, you know, I don't think people remember, like, and they're not high up on, you know, a lot of fantasy leagues and all that, but I don't think people remember how good the Saints D is. I don't think a lot of people forget, is what I should say. They really forget how good their D is.
A lot of people do forget, but when your boy here is a Saints fan,
yeah, well,
you do yourself a little bit of a deep dive into some research. So this year they've got 32 sacks. That's tied for third in the league, third best. They've got 11 interceptions, which is tied for fourth best in the league. Opponents' yards per game, 302. That's fourth best in the league. Points per game, yeah, given up on the defense, 22.2. That's eighth in the league. So they've always been a solid defensive team, and I say it till I'm blue in the face. Their only problem defensively is giving up the big play, the big pass play. Not so much the big rush play, because they've got a fairly good rush defense, but it's the giving up of the big play. So if their front four and guys like Demario Davis, as the middle linebackers coming in, they were all picking Falcon feathers out of their mouth, because they just chomped on Falcons offensive line Matt Ryan, and they were spitting out feathers all day. It was unbelievable. I've never seen an offensive line.
No.
I don't think this year just be dominated that much by the front four of another defense. It was unbelievable.
Who did you have as your dud of the week?
It comes out of a game that we really didn't talk about that much, that I thought was an interesting game that went into overtime as well with Tennessee and Baltimore, and that was Indianapolis and Green Bay. Look, I guess it was a little bit of the commentator's curse. Troy Aikman sort of come out and said, you know, just when, Aaron Rodgers is starting to believe in Valdez-Scantling. You know, he's starting to trust Valdez-Scantling and what he can do, and starting to give him more targets and more catches. Troy Aikman pretty much comes out and says that. Just you know, like the commentator's curse, they do it in cricket all the time. He has a fumble in overtime. The Green Bay was the team that received the ball in overtime. So, you know, a touchdown ends the game. They're marching down the field. Valdez-Scantling catches a ball, tries to get a few extra yards after the catch. The ball's punched out. It's recovered by your boy DeForest Buckner. And that's it. You know, Indianapolis takes over. Phillip Rivers gets them down into field goal range and wins the game. Essentially, costs them the game.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's brutal. Like as soon as Troy Aikman is starting to sing the praises of Valdez Scantling, it was unbelievable. Like and to sort of have that focus on him, especially you know on a big game. I think it was on Fox. On a big game like that with a lot of eyeballs on it, and he comes up with that play. That was brutal.
Yeah, I don't. I still think he's short. I mean, he's got Devonta Adams there. I don't know if he's still short. I don't know what's going on with Aaron Jones this year. I don't know if he's just not getting utilized enough, or what, or he's injured, or something's going on with Aaron Jones. I'm just not sure.
He has been injured a little bit this season. He's not at his best. That's for sure.
No, I don't think he's. Yeah, he's not at his best. Definitely not. Who do you have as your start of the week?
For me, I couldn't go past the combination of Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen.
I had Keenan Allen down to get a franchise record 16 catches and 145 yards. It's probably fair tying in Justin Herbert into that mix because he had to throw the ball to him. But God damn,
no, that's right. And like I said earlier, you know, he had 37 completions, which is a rookie record. So yeah. That's you know, he's just going from strength to strength. It's unfortunate that they're not getting the wins on the board. Look, I almost gave it to another combination in Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp. I don't know why I was looking for combinations this week, but that you know for 16 receptions for Keenan Allen, like that's pretty crazy. You know, the chemistry that they're building up. It's just, yeah, defensively, they're so inept at the moment. to have the Jets do what they did to them offensively is, I think that'd be a serious wake-up call for Anthony Lynn and I guess his sort of defensive coaches that he's got there at the Chargers. I think that's a wake-up game. Just like to let, you know, the Jets come into your building, that brand-new beautiful stadium there in L.A., and put up 28 points on you, nearly gag away a loss. We know all that big lead. I think that's very concerning still for Los Angeles.
So he also just on Keenan Allen. So he not only I guess he broke sort of that record, but that was the sixth game he got at least 13 catches. So he passed Antonio Brown and Wes Walker for the most. Most games with at least 13 catches in NFL history. Plus, he also tied Antonio Brown for least games to record 600 catches. So both doing it in 96 games. So just shows you how good Antonio Brown was back in the day. He still is.
That's right. And that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. You know, as purely as a player, like he's one of the most unbelievable wide receivers that the game has got right now. So why wouldn't you want to keep him happy? Look, a quick shout out to that. You know, just, you know, while we're sort of running through a little bit of stats and sort of good players, I guess sort of as a whole this year, you know, sort of watching the end of the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game, and they come out with, a little stat, James Robinson, the undrafted running back that plays for Jacksonville at the moment. Most scrimmage yards through the first 9 games in NFL history by an undrafted player.
Wow.
Like he's playing terrific on, you know, most weeks a very well beaten team.
Wow, that's interesting.
So for him for what he's doing as a whole down there, it's terrific. So first 9 games, most scrimmage yards, so total yards by an undrafted player in NFL history.
Wow, unreal. Wow, for a rookie too.
For a rookie, undrafted rookie.
Undrafted like rookie,
yeah. Couldn't squeak into the 7th round.
Yeah. Well, I guess with COVID, you just sort of you take what you can sort of get because a lot of people going on COVID lists. It's sort of it's funny this year, a lot of undrafted or lesser name rookies. Just sort of, you know, James Robinson's another one.
You've just got to be ready and prepared when you're. Yeah, they've got expanded practice squads.
Yeah,
as
that's
well,
right.
Not like they have they've had in previous seasons. Like they've got more spots on the practice squad. So
yeah,
so they can have that. Like, I'm pretty sure, we talked about Jordan Howard there before being cut by Miami. He was picked up by Philadelphia and put on their practice squad. He's been activated this week. So he could dress and be in the 53-man squad for Philadelphia this week. So that's, I mean, just goes my to show God. How quickly, things can turn, in that sort of regard. You know what I mean?
Well, look at Ballard. He got cut by their man.
Okay, Caelan Pallas. Like, yeah, to me, you wouldn't have thought he would have been getting a whole lot of carries with Austin Ekeler at the Chargers, but, he's operating well as the lead back there.
Yeah, gets cut for the Dolphins, picked up by the Chargers in a couple of days, and, becomes – we had that one sort of – last week wasn't great, but that one sort of good game. You're right. It's absolutely crazy how it is this year, but – I guess it's sort of, in a way it's good because a lot of those players didn't have their chance to shine during preseason. So it's sort of, in a way, it's not sort of too bad.
No, well, that's it, we've said it before. A lot of people think that preseason is meaningless, and I completely disagree. Completely disagree. Preseason is a necessity.
My personal feeling is it's definitely necessary. I don't know if 4 games are necessary. That's my personal feeling.
Look,
that's just a personal. I think you cut it by 2 and then maybe add 2 to the regular season. Possibly.
I just don't think that's enough. Like, I don't mind the regular season being 16 games. It's funny when you listen to people on TV and people on the radio and stuff. They contradict each other so much all the time that they say, oh, boy, it's such a long season. Such a long season. It's 21 weeks.
Yeah.
You have 17 weeks and then 4 weeks for the playoffs. Like, give me a break. But then they contradict themselves. And when they start talking about results and things like that, and once it starts to get towards the end of the season, it's only a short season. Oh, geez, they haven't got much time to – you know what I mean? They contradict each other, themselves so often. And you're just like, well, what is it? Is it a short season? Is it a long season?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
What do you mean? 16 regular season games.
Yeah, I get it.
Make them count. But you can't have it both ways. It's not a long season. It's not a short season. What the hell is it?
I think the numbers are fine. I've definitely always liked preseason. I just, my feeling is you could... And this is probably just as a monetary value. I'm surprised they haven't done it. Two games of preseason.
Cash back.
You see
stadiums for preseason. There's no one there. Watching games now, with COVID social distancing. There's nobody there. Nobody wants to watch preseason football, but it's unfortunate that it's just a necessity. Like we've said previously, that you need to develop those calluses. You need to get hit. You need to be in real game situations. That's how you learn.
I guarantee. It's hard to guarantee, but I would say 50% of these injuries that have happened this year for certain players wouldn't have happened if they had a preseason under their belt.
There's a possibility that they might not have.
Hard to say, but I just feel having and these are your Christian McCaffrey's on the world and all that. So because it's a different beast in even with their training, they weren't training like the way they used to with the hard sort of hitting and everything. I'm sure it's
something along the lines of throughout the whole season, they're only allowed like 15 or 16 padded practices. So you can only have one a week.
They're basically the 15 contact practices. So when I was watching Hard Knocks and that, it just felt weird. Like, you're Justin Herbert. That's something I'm surprised how well he's playing. They had to walk through, and he couldn't get touched, and then he was just practicing without a ball in some of it because he couldn't touch the ball. It's
insane. It's insane what they do at practice and stuff like that. Like you wonder why they're so antsy in the pantsy to get to game day, because you would think that especially during the off season and all that sort of stuff, things would just be so repetitive.
Yeah.
That you just want to get to Sunday so you can play a game.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, that'll do it, I guess, for week 11 of the NFL pod. NFL pod, the NFL final play pod. Oh my god, it's week 11. Just to throw that out there, this week coming is week 12. So that's Thanksgiving week for not for us, but obviously for the American fans, which basically means tomorrow our time, so Friday morning, there'll be three games back to back to back.
Yeah, look, I might go out and get myself some turkey and some cranberry sauce and just have a little bit of a little bit of Thanksgiving on Friday morning whilst enjoying three games on a Friday morning. Beautiful.
You already gave me a definite name for the end of this pod. I know exactly what I'm going to say, and it's all centered around you. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook's Final Play Podcast. You can get our podcasts on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, Gimco as well, gimco.com.au. Never forget them. Never forget the Mojo King.
never forget Dom and the Mojo King. It's like Batman and Robin.
Clearly. Well, my name's Jason. You're lying about turkey. You meant Wild Turkey Smith. Because I know you want
my name is Miles Wild Turkey Plum. So there'll be turkey in this house, but whether or not it's a gobble gobble bird or a gobble gobble can,
I guarantee it's wild turkey can and still cranberry sauce. But I don't know what you're gonna put it on. there's no way you're having a normal turkey over wild turkey. Not a chance. That's fair.
They're hard to find around here. I'm gonna have to.
What, turkeys?
Turkeys are expensive too.
And they're beautiful. It's a beautiful cut of meat.
Oh my god,
I love it.
It's unreal.
So I'm surprised. I mean, we take everything else over, like Black Friday that's coming up, and every other.
I can't wait for Black Friday. Oh. Dave and Adam's card shop in the States. Oh, give me those Black Friday specials.
Oh, man, there's phenomenal specials everywhere. But what I'm sort of saying is we take on every other American tradition. Why don't we take on Thanksgiving and get some turkeys out here? I'd love a massive turkey.
Pumpkin carving.
Yeah. Well, we take on every other tradition like Halloween.
Pumpkin pie. Have you ever had pumpkin pie before?
No.
It's not a sweet. It's a savory sort of pie. It's a weird taste. It's nice, amazing. But it's a very strange taste.
Like potato pie or something like that, without the mince, of course.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I guess you would. You know, whether you think of it as a dessert type item, but there's not a lot of sweetness to it. It's edible. I'll give them that. It's edible, but there's probably a reason why they only have it one time of the year.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Oh, I just love that they can watch, can have a day off and watch three games in a row. That's unbelievable.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that one of the games is the Cowboys and the Washington team, and the other game is the Detroit Lions.
Well, that's and the Ravens, because they haven't been playing well. So,
Is it Pittsburgh and Baltimore's the last game?
Yeah, so all the games are a bit of a wash, really. I mean, Washington Cowboys, who the hell knows what's going to happen? That could go anyway, literally. I don't know.
Like Atlanta and Detroit.
That's a dumpster fire game.
It's Houston. Houston and Detroit, not Atlanta.
Still, dumpster fire game.
That could be anything.
Yeah, up until that last game, and just because I don't know what the Ravens are going to do, you'd hedge your bets that Steelers are going to win that, being still undefeated. So. You'd hedge your bets.
There's still tickets for sale there at Heinz Field, $325 a pop. Get on it.
Yeah, I see ours. I think Dallas is $107, as low as $107. So three wins, baby. You still got to pay for that.
Jerry Jones still wants to get his money. He wants to pay for that stadium somewhere.
Oh, for that massive screen somehow.
Oh my god!
All right,
just everything about that stadium is gigantic.
It's gigantic, yeah. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
That's.